How is it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are joined for this hour by Adam Lee. Adam, how you doing?
Pretty good. What's up?
Well, not a whole lot. Now you're not going to be... well, what have you been up to, I guess, in the time since your last one here?
Work. Just staying at home. Nothing really.
Fair enough. So the first thing we're going to talk about, you are probably not going to be very interested in. I wanted to touch on the draft real fast. Now you do not watch the football, if it'll load. There we go. So oh wait, this is all time? I don't want all time. That's pretty dumb. I just want to know who all got drafted this year. Nonetheless, Ohio State had 11 people get drafted this year. Imagine having 11 players drafted to the NFL, and you can't even make the, well, I think they did make the playoffs, but they got put out by Indiana. No, they got put out by Miami, and then Miami got beat by Indiana. Imagine losing to the loser. Nonetheless, Ohio State with 11, Alabama with 10. They also didn't do well, Alabama. Texas A&M. Clemson, Miami did have 9 people go, so good for them. Texas Tech with 9, Georgia at 8, Indiana at 8, even though they won the national championship. Indiana's head coach is great, by the way. You know, he should come to the NFL. And then you got Penn State at 8. What'd you think about that, Adam?
Yeah, sports ball. Yeah.
All right. Well, the majority of the Ohio State players who were drafted were defensive players, so that's doesn't surprise me. The Ohio State's defense tends to be the place they put the most players in the NFL at. They do put a lot of wide receivers in the NFL also. 3 years in a row now, I do believe, for first-round wide receivers. But, yeah, with that being said, I guess, seeing as Adam has zero interest in the football.
Oh, no, you do you.
I mean, there's not a whole lot. I mean, I'd have to, like, you know, go through names. But nonetheless, Ohio State did have 4 players go top 15, which is the first time since, I don't remember the exact year. But it's been a while, and there's only been 2 other schools in history to do it. Notre Dame and Michigan State. So, good on them. And they still couldn't even make the national championship game. Fire Ryan Day. Nobody does more with less than the Ohio State Buckeyes. Sorry. Nobody does less with more. There we go. Than the Ohio State Buckeyes. Alrighty. So, with that being said, $5 gas prices are here. What you think about the $5 gas prices? And, I guess, you know, what comes with that?
Oh, boy. You want to know something crazy?
Sure.
Didn't realize it mattered, honestly. With it being $5, and they've already announced they're going to go from a 10% ethanol mix to a 15%, they're going to now then say, oh, it's going to bring down gas prices. But I feel like just before then, they're going to bring it up above $5, and then it's, oh, we added the, 15% ethanol mix, and then it's going to be like around the $4.80 region. Ooh, price drop.
Well, I don't know that adding the ethanol is really going to make a whole lot of difference. I mean, 5% extra.
You're just going to cause more problems because not all cars can handle that.
Well, I'm sure they got some kind of plan, I guess.
I think that is the plan, though.
Now, we have gotten calls before talking about how the oil we produce here in the United States is not the same oil as that is produced elsewhere, and our refineries in the United States are set up to produce gasoline out of, to refine the oil from.
It's nothing to do with like the type that's produced. It's just with the cost. They're hoping it'll lower prices for the consumer.
What?
The going from a 10% ethanol to a 15%.
No, I'm just talking about.
But yeah, like different grades of petroleum.
Well, specifically just, like we are one of the biggest oil exporters in the world.
Yeah.
But apparently we export our oil because we apparently don't have the refineries necessary to refine the kind of crude oil we pull out of the ground versus the kind of crude oil that is pulled out of the ground in places like
Venezuela
and the Middle East. So we just export a whole bunch of our oil. And also we have oil reserves, but we don't utilize them, I guess. We haven't used them.
Mm.
A whole lot, at least. I mean, you know, I do believe one maybe twice during the Trump's presidency this time around, they released a couple thousand barrels or something like that. I don't remember.
During, like, the Biden administration, didn't they sell some?
The Biden administration, well, they released some.
Oh.
Into circulation to lower gas prices, which is what the reserves are for, but if I had to guess what we're doing with the oil reserves as of currently, it's fighting a war.
Probably.
I mean, you know. The war, by the way, I don't know what we're up to now, but as of a week or two ago, something like that, we were up to like $50 billion in war costs.
Oh, boy.
What'd you think about the $50 billion warfare bill thus far?
Could have been spent better elsewhere.
Well, sure.
Just about anywhere else.
Because of the gas prices, by the way, Spirit Airlines has announced that they are going to cease operations for a while. So literally just an airline is just like, nah.
Wonder who's going to take over as the butt of airline jokes then.
You know, I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I think that if the prices keep going, I mean, you already had, you know, an airline just be like, we're not paying it. I mean, what's going to happen when, like, American Airlines is just like, you know, $7 gas prices, we're cool. Also, earlier this morning, we were looking into the gas prices during the Iraq War, and I want to say it was 2003 to 2008, gas prices went from like $1.60 to $4. It's been 2 months, and gas prices have gone up like a little over like 100%.
Well, you also have to look at, during that war, what all was attacked and destroyed, and compare it with, you know, current war. More infrastructure's been attacked, and I guess this one, like more oil fields or in like all the refineries.
Well, the age of, I don't know, autonomous warfare, I guess, I don't really know what you want to call it, hasn't been up until recently. I mean, the first president to really utilize airstrikes over ground troops, to my knowledge, was Obama.
I think Bush authorized drones in Afghanistan.
Well, yeah, but
use the most out of them, Obama.
Yeah, but Obama used drones significantly more than Bush. But Obama also didn't have nearly as many ground soldiers in the Middle East. But bombs are expensive, so we were burning through dollars.
Well, Obama also didn't
still
have,
are
like,
burning through dollars.
Obama didn't have also $2.3 trillion disappear.
What do you mean?
When the Pentagon got struck. And coincidentally, that wall, that area that got hit, was also their records department. And they were getting audited for $2.3 trillion. Gone.
When the, you're talking about during, like, 9/11?
Yeah. And then, coincidentally, we go into Iraq.
All right, so...
Yeah.
So... Do you think?
But yeah, no.
You think 9/11 is an inside job?
Possibly, but no. All I'm saying is though.
Oh, you just said coincidentally.
Bush had, you know, a quote balanced budget, basically, or just a new blank sheet to just spend wherever he needed. Whereas then once Obama came in, he had to take over that budget. He had to like work within it. Different budgets, is all I'm saying.
Okay. Nonetheless, So yeah, Spirit Airlines has ceased operations for now. So there's that. The Supreme Court has voted to hollow out the however you want to phrase it. It's been like hollow out, gutted out. You know, whatever adjective you want to give. They've hauled out the Voting Rights Act. What do you think about the Supreme Court's vote of the Voting Rights Act? Also, I think there's fireworks outside.
Why?
We like fireworks.
What exactly did they hollow out?
So the Voting Rights Act, or I guess Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, was supposedly basically so you couldn't draw minorities out of district maps. Basically, you couldn't draw.
The racial segregation.
Yeah, you couldn't draw districts based on race. Mm. But it was basically you couldn't do it even if you did it on accident. They would come back and say you can't do that, unconstitutional. Got to do it again. But this time they say they changed the ruling to like you have to have proof that you did it for racial reasons. But then you know, who's going to just be like, yeah, I did it because I wanted to weaken the minority vote?
Yeah, that just doesn't look good on your part.
I
moved the numbers around.
Yeah, how are you going to get proof for something like that? So they say that the Voting Rights Act has been hollowed out. So you can redistrict now for just about any reason. For just about any reason. You can just draw your maps however you want them.
Oh, boy. Can't wait to see the next election lines.
Well, I don't know. I was under the impression they already passed, but apparently they had just passed to begin the redistricting. Like, California had a vote. They haven't had a number to it. I don't remember. But they voted, and it was the thing to redistrict the electoral map, the special redistricting. And Florida's doing it. Texas is doing it. Virginia's doing it. If California wanted to, they could probably just district out all the Republicans. I mean, it's California.
I feel like then, you know, like Texas would just do the same thing. Florida probably follow along.
I guess it just depends on who can win the tick for tack then. And I do believe that the Democrats probably have the tick for tack.
But like, man, it's a little ridiculous when they just do the politics for, oh, we're better than this side, when it shouldn't just be about fixing the problems, instead of, my side obviously will fix the problems and is the better solution. Like,
well, the whole thing started because Donald Trump had asked Florida to redistrict to give him more seats in the House for the upcoming midterms. And then California was like, well, I mean, if they're going to do it to give you more seats, then we're going to do it to give us more seats.
So then Texas
followed. Yeah, then Texas was like, well, if you're going to do it. Yeah, so it's just
such pettiness.
Well, I mean, what do you do? Just say, well, yeah, we'll let them have the extra 10 seats in the House or however many seats. No, and it probably isn't 10 seats. Point, that's definitely an exaggeration. It's probably closer to like 2 or 3.
At that point, I feel like shouldn't just the Supreme Court come in and be like, either, you know, no one does it or everyone does it.
Well, they did have to come in and say that it was because
it's allowed, isn't it?
There was a time like. There's a timeline you have in which you're supposed to redistrict every so often, and the Supreme Court just said you can redistrict whenever, basically. So, you know, Florida was like, well, we got that, and then because the Supreme Court said Florida can do it, then...
Now
everybody can do it.
It's just a slow rolling ball now.
Now, I might have some of that, like, not exactly 100%, I guess, but that's the gist of it, to my understanding, as far as the whole redistricting battle goes. And I do think that, I mean, if push comes to shove, I think that the Democrats probably will win the tick for tack there.
Yeah. It's California.
Well, I mean, not just California. I mean, Virginia's. I think they're going to redistrict to be more blue. I think that New York, it wouldn't surprise me if New York redistrict. I mean, I don't know how, now it's New York. I don't know how much more you could redistrict New York to make it more blue. But, I mean, in Ohio, well, we didn't redistrict, but in Ohio, we shot down the thing that would have made an independent political body that's job it was to draw up maps in a nonpartisan way. And we just said, we don't want that. I thought that was pretty common sense. I was like, yeah, bipartisan, equal, you know, good maps, electoral, you know, that whole thing. No. We weren't about that.
Well, we were a dominantly red state at the time, and
still are.
Yeah, they wanted out, and for the reason of it, because, oh hey, we could keep ourselves red if we just don't redraw.
Well, you're required to redraw every so often,
but don't do it like, right away, though.
Based on like migration patterns and whatnot.
But like, don't do it right away is what I'm getting at, though. Whereas, you know, we put it off like, oh, maybe we could, you know, maybe hold out for this election and then still get our guy back in. But
you think just holding out for a certain election to do it?
But I don't think they want to get Trump back in.
Well, you can now.
Yeah.
Been president twice.
I don't think they'd want to get any of his, like, cronies in.
Now, that I don't know about. I mean, I don't know, I guess Trump himself isn't all that popular right now. I mean, J.D. Vance isn't. I mean, people aren't all that big on J.D. Vance.
Same thing with Vivek. Although he's, like, not really amongst Trump anymore.
How much do you think, or I guess, what are the odds you think Vivek has, or I guess wins this gubernatorial candidacy?
Like, becomes governor?
Yeah.
I'd say it's more than 50-50. Like,
you put
I don't know, like, not much more, but
so, like, you just lean toward Vivek winning?
Somehow.
For what reason?
I don't know, maybe the numbers, but at the same time, I just don't think he has that popularity, so I'm just not, like, that certain.
Now, there is a I don't know if you've heard of him, Casey Puch. Maybe I'm saying the last name wrong, by the way. It's P-U-T-S-C-H. Maybe Putch. But anyways, he's running for governor on the Republican ticket as well. He's gotten into some controversy. He posted a video to his Facebook, maybe. I don't remember where. He posted a video to some social media platform. And he had a rifle. And he said, "Hey Vivek, want to play cowboys and Indians?" And then he proceeded to shoot a target a couple of times. And then he said, "Don't worry, it's feathers, not dots." And then he also he was going to have a rally at some beer hall. He was going to have a beer hall rally, and his last name is Putch.
This guy's crazy.
And it was gonna be big on his German heritage. And he said he'd buy anybody a beer who showed up in a German car. He has refused to denounce anti-Semitism. He's refused to denounce racism. Saying something along the lines of he won't play that game, I guess. So depending on what percent of the vote he gets, I think that's gonna be. It might be game over for Vivek.
Man. Things like that just makes me think there should be, like, some sort of, like, bare minimum requirement, like, IQ test for certain politicians.
An IQ test?
Something along those lines. Like, dude, come on. Cowboys and Indians.
I don't think he's... I don't think he's dumb. I mean,
I'm not saying that, but like
I've heard the man talk. I mean, he speaks fluently. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
But you're saying, you know, it was smart of him to say, "Oh, come on, Vivek, let's play cowboys and Indians." Like,
I think it's probably a dog whistle. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love to give the benefit of the doubt. I won't lie to you, but I mean, I don't know how to give the benefit of the doubt, like, of this one. I mean, this one's pretty
stuff like that.
Yeah, pretty straightforward as far as I'm concerned. So
shameful.
So, what percent of the vote do you think he's going? It'll be the Republican primary come May 5th. So what, Tuesday, I think, is the May 5th.
I'd be upset if that man gets 1%.
Oh, he's going to get more than, I think he's going to get more than 1%.
Come on, people.
I mean, we're probably looking at closer to like 5 to 10.
Come on, people. Be the better person. Like, he's literally just being a deplorable human.
Well, I don't know.
Be decent to your fellow person, no matter the skin. Like, come on.
Well, I mean, Jim Renacci, big time Republican here in Ohio. I mean, he was on the station not too long ago, and he said that he thinks that that the Hinduism is going to be a problem for Vivek, because.
How though? I thought, isn't Vivek like some denomination of Christian? I thought
Hindu.
Oh,
he's Hindu.
Oh, did not know that. I don't see how that could be a problem though.
Well,
it's freedom of worship in this country.
Yeah, but I mean, Ohio's big on. We have a lot of church groups. I mean,
I know, like, last year, I mean, there was a big
abortion passed in Ohio, but like, I mean, like,
in
like,
Galleon,
but church groups. I mean, like, church groups hold a lot of power in Ohio.
So like you're thinking, or like the Christian groups wouldn't get along with him or something along those lines.
That's the thought process, I guess. Yes.
People stuck in their ways.
Now we've had people call in before and they've had problems with his name.
Oh my god!
Not like saying his name, but like just being like, oh, I don't know if I'd vote for, like, because I don't remember who. So we had a caller call in one time and he was like, I wouldn't vote for somebody whose name was like Saddam Hussein, and you know, stuff like that. So
a name's a name.
Yep. But I mean, I don't know. He was born in Cincinnati, just as much an Ohioan as I am. Now, I don't think he's always lived in Ohio. I mean, I do believe his pharmaceutical company is based in Texas.
I thought they were also in Ohio.
I don't think so. I do believe they're based in Texas. Mm. So, I mean, he's got some problem, I guess. Now, I don't know. But is it? I guess the question is it going to be more or less than the number of people who aren't going to vote for Amy Acton because she's a woman? I mean, we were talking to, gosh, I can picture her face. I'm terrible with names for some reason. Jeez. She interviewed Mary Ellen, just had her on the channel 10. That lady. What's her name?
Oh, man. You're asking the wrong guy.
Gosh. Oh, I feel so bad. She's like one of the only person I watch on TV who does interviews currently. And I can't. Channel. One second. Sorry, it's going to bother me otherwise.
I will say one of the big concerns, though, I have if Vivek gets in is him probably paving the way for, like, big companies like his own pharmaceutical or, you know, the likewise come in easier.
I don't know if he's changed his viewpoint on this or not. Colleen Marshall, by the way, that's her name. But I don't know if he's changed his viewpoint on this or not, but I do believe he at one point was in favor of the, what, H-1, some special kind of work visa. Yeah, so he was pro-immigration to some extent, at least. He wanted workers.
Cheap labor.
Come
on.
It depends on who you talk to. I mean, now, a lot of people will say, yes, cheap labor. But, you know, if you ask the tech people and then the CEOs and the execs, they'll just tell you we don't have enough skilled trade people in the United States to take the jobs. So we just need people to fill in.
Okay.
Yep. There's just not enough, you know, of that expertise in the United States. But he's a fan of... Now, I don't know exactly what that has to do with Ohio politics. I mean, you don't control immigration policies.
You just start smuggling shit over Lake Erie.
But, like, you know, so, I mean, he had talked about that at one point and about how he was a fan of that. Oh, but yes, what I was saying. We were talking to Colleen Marshall at one point, and she said in the newsroom they had talked about how this election's we're gonna see if Ohio is more sexist or racist.
Yeah, literally, that's what it's coming down to.
We'll either have the first non-white president or the first non-white governor or the first woman governor.
And we'll have an outrage afterwards, no matter what. Because there's going to be the crowd, oh my gosh, it's a woman. And then there's going to be the crowd, oh my gosh, it's an Indian.
I don't know.
People just need to calm down.
I don't think there's really... I mean, I don't know that there will be a whole bunch of backlash. I mean, it'll be historic, I guess. I mean, I think that'll be something that's talked about. But I don't think anybody's going to make a big hubbub about it. I think it would just make you look bad. And I think that's probably understood. And I think that's why... I think that's why, you know, okay, there are going to be people who don't vote for Vivek Ramaswamy because he's not a white man, okay? I mean, plain and simple. Yeah, we'll say that, okay?
That kind of crowd these days.
So, now, even if it's like, you know, not a lot of people, I mean, it's there, but I guess it depends on, if you ask those people... They're going to say something like they don't like him because arrogance is a word that's used sometimes. Or, you know, something like that. Like, they just, they'll pick some kind of flaw about him that they don't like. And they'll just be like, that's why I don't like him.
Die on that hill guy, I guess.
I mean, like, I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot, because, like, likability seems to be a big problem in elections now. But likability doesn't even make a whole lot of sense. Yes. I mean, it would be easier to vote for somebody I liked.
But wouldn't you rather like them to get stuff done?
Well, let me...
Not be buddy-buddy.
No, no, no. I mean, like...
Yeah, like, they have but like, characteristics that you like.
Yeah, like, if you liked the same policy I like, but, like, as a person, I don't like you, why would I not vote for you? I'm not voting for you to be my friend. I'm voting for you to be in office. So if you like the same policy I like, I really don't care how likable a person you are. I mean, I want you to get stuff done. If you like the same policy I like, then odds are you're going to have my vote. So I don't know what the likability's really got to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm sure it's easier to vote for somebody that you like. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But,
too bad we got people who think that way.
But if you want people to do a job, I figure you want to elect them for the job that they're... you never know what people are actually going to do until they're in there, I guess. But the job that they allege they're going to do.
Yeah, the goals they lay down, the qualifications.
Well, one second. I wanted to... What do you think about the blockade? The blockade has been continuing on. Oh, that's what I knew it was something to do with the blockade. That's why I brought it up. What do you think about the Trump said that he's going to try to start a maritime alliance to break up reopen the Strait of Hormuz.
I wonder with who, because last I knew he, you know, crap talked a lot of our allies.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I figure. I don't know who's going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's tried to get people to do it before. I mean, I guess he never specifically stated, like, only a maritime alliance. But, I mean, I think that it's probably in the globe's interest that the Strait of Hormuz reopen. I mean, I don't think it's helped global trade at all. I mean, it's a choke point.
If it's truly in the global interest, you think that the globe would actually start, you know, getting involved more than just the whole, like, Trump's backlashing at us or talking this about us?
Well, by the same, I mean, what would the point be?
Wouldn't they, you know, oh, oil is becoming, you know, an issue for us or whatever, you know, prices are rising, we should probably also send our ships to help in this as quickly as possible. So, again, if it's
a lot of foreign leaders just... Now, I don't know any of them.
I know not everyone has a navy, but, like, the ones that do...
Well, no, I was just about to say, a lot of foreign leaders just... I mean, like, they... basically just... I mean, like... Now, they none of them have said this, so this is... I'm putting words in their mouths, I guess, but, I mean, you know, it's just kind of... I feel like they've said it in just so many words and just haven't explicitly said it. Trump's just, you can't really negotiate with Trump. I mean, he's not that, like, he just doesn't, that's not really, he's not an agreeable kind of fellow. Now, they would probably put it in far more diplomatic terms and, you know, because, you know, they always just say, like, oh, great progress has been made, but no deal has been made yet. But, you know, you'll say that for, like, you know.
Weeks.
Not eat months. Yeah. I mean, like for the entirety of this negotiation until it falls through, it'll be, oh, good progress. I mean, we've been saying good progress, no deal has been made for the Russian and Ukraine war now since it started. Look where that went. Still happening.
You'll have that with a war of attrition.
Well, if it's a war of attrition, I mean, this has nothing to do with anything, but just as far as that goes, I mean, if it truly is a war of attrition, I think Russia's going to win.
That's how they play it.
I mean, Russia's...
They throw bodies to the slaughter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Russia's...
They handle bodies to the slaughter.
Russia's just got the size, and they've got the resource. I mean, Ukraine just... I mean, they've fought valiantly up to this point, and they'll continue to do so, but at some point...
You can only...
You're going to run out of manpower and guns.
Yeah. Well, not even. You only have enough manpower to use those guns. Like, you know, they have so many that they don't have enough people.
Let me rephrase. I mean, you don't really run out of guns. Guns aren't... I mean, they
it's
are...
always people.
They are consumable to some extent. But no, I mean, like, ammo. I mean, it doesn't really matter how many people you have. You can have a billion guns, 1,000 people, but you have no ammo. What good are the guns? Fancy clubs. And, you know, we're in the middle of our own thing right now, so I don't think we're doing a whole lot to help Ukraine. And I don't know that and it's not popular, necessarily, to help Ukraine. I mean, I'm sure somebody's still helping Ukraine to some extent.
Europe is.
But, I mean, we were helping Ukraine because the public really wanted to help Ukraine. Because, you know, I mean, we weren't helping Ukraine until everybody was like, oh, well, you know, we should help Ukraine. And then, even then, people were still upset about it.
Yeah, it became the, like, Poland for 21st century.
I don't know. See, Poland
come
started
come
all of World
Ukraine's
War II.
Aid.
Look,
like maybe five years down the line, we'll all say the same thing probably.
But, you know, I just think that, I don't know. I just think that Ukraine is probably not
in a good spot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know to what extent Europe is helping them.
They still send, you know, weapons and ammo and the occasional, you know, training.
Well, I don't know if we still do, but I know when Obama, or not Obama, when Biden was in office, we had, there were some confidential documents leaked that, stated. Now, I don't think it said where they were, because that would be, you know, like, no good. But it did say that we had special forces in Ukraine training up their armed forces. So, when we were over there. Also, I mean, it doesn't, you know.
They also have
it's kind of the same extent
around the world.
Yeah, they have the international divisions. Or the International Corps, is that what it's called?
I forget the name of it.
But yeah, I mean, they have the International Peoples. So there are a couple of Americans over there, but I mean, they're not like soldiers. I mean, I guess they're soldiers in the extent that they're fighting in a war, but they're just like private people who just said, I'm going to go fight for Ukraine. So fair enough, I guess. But, I mean, it's just a proxy thing. I mean, it's no different than how, I mean, people, like with the whole, how Russia's providing military intelligence to Iran, and how China
is doing the same thing.
Yeah. I thought China was providing something slightly different. I mean,
they're doing a bit more than just reconnaissance, I thought.
But I think Russia's providing, like, ammo and stuff, but they're also providing... Anyways, it doesn't surprise me that China... I mean, Russia doesn't surprise me. I mean, China and Iran are friendly.
Yeah, Iran supplies oil
and Russia and Iran are friendly. But China's basically just a big store. I mean, I really think that China just wants to be... not necessarily friends with everybody, but friendly enough with everybody to do business with everybody. I really think that that's their main goal in life, is to do business.
Kind of, yeah, what you need to do when you want to take on someone who's already in that place, us.
Well, China's already by far the largest global supplier of things.
But, like, as in, like, in terms of controlling the, like, oil and all that. Oil's...
We do it in a different way than China, though.
Yeah.
China's, like, buying up all the resources. So it's just Chinese land. We just kind of...
control.
Build military bases there and become friendly with them. It's a whole different thing. But, same concept, I guess. But... yeah, so China just kind of wants to do business with everybody. Fair enough. I mean, I respect it, honestly. I mean, business is business. But I don't think that, I don't know where I was going with that, but I don't think the blockade's going to do any good.
Yeah, you're blockading a blockade.
I mean, it's like encircling an encirclement, I guess. I mean, the blockade that you're blockading can't get any supplies. You stop them all. And we're, according to the Pentagon, we're going to, like, we're tracking down ships that left the Iranian ports or are heading to Iran in international waters. If we see a ship flying an Iranian flag or ships that do business with Iran, we're going to search and seize. In international waters. Neutral waters.
Yeah, I love piracy.
Well, the Pentagon did say specifically that it has to do with war. Now, I mean, it would seem to me that just about anything can do with conflicts. But, like, they listed off things like, obviously, guns and ammo and things like that are instantly going to be confiscated. But they did say that, like, I don't remember exactly what they mentioned, but, like, it was something to do with, like, civilian equipment, but if they were like, well, if the civilian equipment was being transported alongside military equipment, then we would assume the whole thing is for the military and confiscate all of it. So, I guess in theory, you could just have, like, a whole bunch of Nike t-shirts, and they'd be like, all right, well, obviously just head into the consumer market with all Nike, and then let them go. But if you had, like, a whole bunch of t-shirts and guns, they're going to be like, well, it's all ours, boys. And yes, I think that probably is piracy. I mean, I think that would fit the definition of piracy.
Nations have been doing that, though. That, like, conduct of naval warfare for a while, though.
Well, yeah.
So I don't know, like, necessarily, I mean, still called piracy, or...
I mean, it's the same thing.
But, yeah.
I mean, the only difference between piracy of today and piracy of then, in my opinion, is really that back in the day, you would hire somebody to be a pirate for you.
Privateers.
Yep. The UK used to hire people all the time to raid French vessels, and the French did the exact same thing. And also, it was such a practice that if you were a privateer who was paid by England, for example, and you were captured by the French would turn around and they would basically ransom you. You wouldn't be executed or anything, even though you were, like, a criminal and had killed a lot of French people. They'd just ransom you back to the British. You were essentially under the protection of the British. You were a war profiteer. So the only difference is now is that we don't hire. I mean, the only difference is now is that yeah,
PMC.
Yeah, we just yeah. Nowadays we just pay the military to do it.
No, we still have PMCs like Blackwater and the likes.
We don't really use Blackwater a whole lot. I mean, when we do, it's like escort missions.
But yeah,
we used to use them a lot more, but they had some war crimes and whatnot, so we had to dial that back.
Not like we haven't, though. It's different, though, when it's someone else.
Well, you can't go hiring people who commit war crimes. Unless you're Russia, I guess. You know, they got the whole Wagner group. That's literally their whole gig is war crimes.
Unless you're the United States and you still allow them in the ranks until enough people get upset and they're like, well, now it's come to light, we gotta let you go.
What, war crimes?
Yeah. We do it all the time.
Every
nation. Yeah,
yes, I'm sure. Yes. I mean, yeah, as unfortunate as it is to say, and not condoning it, but I mean, I would. Yes, I would wager to say every country commits war crimes.
But like, you got the people. Some who people look just at us do it. Those
but like, it's
rose tinted glasses.
But it's one of those things to where, like, yes, Adam, like,
because we're the United States,
like,
land
like
of the free,
during World War II, I guess, There's an example that's used for this in World War II. During World War II, I don't remember if this was before or after the Geneva Convention, but either way, we mistreat prisoners of war. Okay, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, it goes like, if you were a Nazi prisoner captured, right? Would you rather be a prisoner for the Americans who are going to mistreat you?
Yeah.
Or would you rather be? Or would you rather be
affected to the West?
Yep. Or would you rather be a prisoner for the Soviet Union who's going to mistreat you? Most of them are heading to America. I mean, it's just that kind of, yes, we break the rules just like everyone else, just not as much. I mean, like I mean, it's just
the same amount. We just have a better way of covering it up than others.
Maybe. For some things. But like I said, I mean, if that were really the same thing, I'd probably just go into hiding. Why would I turn myself into either of them? If I turn myself into the Soviets, I'm probably going to a work camp for the rest of my life.
Well, I'm pretty sure 5 million went to a work camp regardless at the end.
Yeah.
Because the Americans decided, hey, the Soviets should get rebuilt. 5 million sent, never to be seen again.
Well, I'll take that up with the Soviets.
We sent them there. We're just as guilty, but yeah.
But I think it's just one of those things. Nobody's on the level.
Yeah.
Some people are just a lot more below the level than others. So, I guess, you know, that is what it is. So, I don't know really what's up with that, but there that is. The ceasefire, is that what they're calling it, the ceasefire?
Temporary ceasefire.
How do you see the whole ceasefire ending? Trump says it's going to be,
isn't it a partial, because there's still conflict going in Lebanon? And that was one of the things Iran wanted in their peace.
I do believe Israel, I could be wrong, one second. I do believe Israel did, in fact, sign a ceasefire with Jordan and Gaza.
But no Lebanon?
Well, that's the one. That's the one. Lebanon. Well, Hezbollah is Gaza.
I thought they were also in Lebanon.
Well, I guess they're like a... Aren't they the group that's in charge of Gaza? Then they get elected to God. Anyways, it looks like I'm either wrong or Israel broke the ceasefire, because as of 50 minutes ago, NBC News reported that Israel strikes in southern Lebanon, killing 10 people, as Hezbollah drone wounds two Israeli soldiers. So, if there was a ceasefire, then it's all, that one's already over. Already did that one in. But I guess we should see where the ceasefire goes as far as the blockade. Do you think the blockade's been effectful? Or effective, I guess?
I don't know. I feel like it's just doing the same as what it was before, or just less. Because at one point, we took the strait, and then the ceasefire, we give it back to them. What up with that?
I don't think we took the strait.
According to Trump, we did.
Yeah, but according to Trump,
I know. According to Trump, a lot of things happened.
According to Trump, we completely obliterated their military capabilities.
And yet they're still laying, like, naval mines. Yeah.
Well, even, like, one second. I already mentioned it prior, but let's see if I still have it here.
But, like, we can't even know for sure what all we've destroyed when they have underground networks.
Yeah, so, We do have about a minute left here, but I guess I wanted to read this again. Now, last week I mentioned this, but I guess we can do it again. Iran has larger military capabilities than the White House or the Pentagon has publicly admitted, according to multiple U.S. officials who spoke on the condition of anonymity. About half of Iran's missile systems and missile launch systems were still intact as of the start of the ceasefire. Roughly 60% of their navy still exists, and about two-thirds of their air force is operational. So, roughly 60% of their military is still operational. Now, to go from 100% military to 60% in the matter of a couple of months is, you know, that's a lot. But it's certainly far from completely obliterated military victory.
Yeah, you'll have that when they can just go, we're under attack? Bunker. And caves.
Well, I wanted to leave it off tonight because I forgot to mention it earlier, but something I thought was interesting was Trump has previously said that it's hard to talk to the leaders of Iran, so it's hard to negotiate. An Iranian foreign minister was asked about this, and they were like, they were asked if it was hard to reach the Ayatollah. And he said that yes, it is in fact hard to reach him. He's a hard man to get a hold of and communicate with.
I don't blame them when you have a nearby neighbor called Israel saying they're going to kill anyone who's the leader, regardless of talks.
Well, we already bombed one of them.
We've bombed multiple if you count their parliament. We literally wiped out a whole line of secession, basically.
See, I don't know. They say that, but I don't believe it. Just think about this for a second.
I get it. Yeah, yeah. They're in a war, and then they're like, oh, the leader dies. Let's convene a council for the next leader. Conveniently, they all get struck.
Well, no, because like Trump had said, we killed when he bombed and killed the original Ayatollah. He's like, oh, we killed the next like 23 leaders. We don't even know who's going to be in charge in there because of all the leaders we killed.
His son.
Yeah, and then they literally picked his son. That, and I was like, the son would have been the first candidate I would have had in mind.
So supposedly that's not like the original plan because it goes against the whole principles of what the Ayatollah was preaching with the whole revolutionary thing. But it's different circumstances, so they elected more hardliner or radical, so his son steps up.
Alrighty, well, it's been a fun conversation, but we are already 2 minutes over. So, thank you for joining us.
Good times, I guess.
It's been fun. You should come back.
Yeah.
Open invitation. But with that being said, I hope everybody has a nice night. It is chilly outside, so hope everybody stays warm. There's a frost advisory, says the computer. So, make sure your plants aren't dead. Stay safe, have a nice night, and enjoy. Goodbye.
Definition, everybody has to work out their own.